does express what they share today.
It's powerful.
So it is. It's a song that I love. But
it kind of rolls like the ocean.
And that's exactly what I'm going to be covering here. Which is why I picked it. And I thought, it's such an old song, nobody's even going to know it.
Oh, yeah. We've sung it. I love it.
I know. And I love it every time we do. Yeah. Anyway, let me pray quickly. Yes. Thank you. Precious Lord, you and I both know I can't do this. But I know that you can. And I know you're not nervous. You're not worried. And you have something you want to say to all of us. And I just pray that I would be a conduit to your words.
Yes.
And that if there's anything that's not of you, that either I forget to say it or you block it out of their hearing. And most of all, Lord, I ask that what you've given me, that you would enable me to share. That somehow they would hear the words that you want. Even if you don't use my words, if you just speak to them in their hearts.
Yes.
Just praise you and thank you.
Thank you.
We need you. We all need you. Mm-hmm. Be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Who is this coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? I have to give you just a tiny bit of background in that there was a study of Song of Solomon early in my walk with the Lord. And I found out how much the Lord loved me, and it just got me so excited. And that verse has been, I don't even know the year. I just have no idea. It was in the 80s, early 80s, that I just claimed that verse as my favorite verse. It's always been part of me in and out, and recently Hope wanted some devotions for a little booklet she's putting together of cancer survivors, and that came back to me, and something came from it, so it was fresh on my mind. And then 3-4 weeks later, we're pondering, well, what do we want to study at this ladies' retreat that we think might be a good idea to have? And so Sunday morning, driving up, in my mind, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be fun to focus on, for the weekend, on this verse? You know, and I thought, well, that's just me. I get excited because I love that verse. But I felt like, even without a lot of prayer or days, I thought, I'm at least going to mention it and have somebody else be praying to see if this might be the direction. So before I lost my courage, I told Judy about it Sunday, and I said, just be praying to see if that. So Monday morning, I'm sitting down, and I'm thinking about it, and out of nowhere came three parts, three things to look at. And I thought, well, you can't really do leaning. Well, leaning was the one that is my heart, leaning. But you can't do leaning until you know who you're leaning on. And you can't do leaning on till you know what it is you're having to deal with. So it came out three parts. So Friday at prayer, I brought it up, and I fully expected everybody to pitch in, and someone would take this and someone would take that, and maybe the Lord would want me to stretch, and maybe I could say a little word, maybe. And anyway, I finally caught on what the Lord had in mind. I'm a little slow. So the ladies all backed right off and said, nope, it's all yours. So here I am, the first time ever in my life doing anything like this in any way, shape, or form. So you get the rough copy. But thankfully, the Lord will still prevail. And that I do know, and I am depending on it. So, and as I said, you know, the Lord often asks us to step out of our comfort zone. And I can't even see my comfort zone from here. So it's so far back, I don't know where it is. I've lost it.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I know what God gave me, because Wednesday God gave me
this verse here. And I told her, I don't understand why God gave me something.
Wow. The same song, exact verse God gave her.
Really?
Yes. So, and well, she had no clue that it was
Yeah.
But I was like, is he trying to tell me that that's how he sees me?
Yeah. Yes, I can just go ahead and jump to the end. Yes.
No, it's just so
isn't that amazing.
Yeah, that is. That's neat.
And I hadn't seen her emails yet to know
okay.
that's where.
Wow. Oh, that's fun.
That's great.
So, obviously today we'll start with the beloved because there's no point in understanding anything else until you know who we're leaning on and who's walking with us. And I'm going to do something unusual, and I can give you the references after the fact if you want. I'm just going to read you some scriptures. I don't want you to look them up. I'm not going to give you the references at this point. I want you to visualize the Lord as he's being described, and I've picked all kinds of different scriptures to read, and I just want you to picture God. And in all of his, I've tried to cover a lot. So just listen. God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, let there be, and there was. The Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. You shall set bounds for the people around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountains. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. O God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. And they called out to one to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, and I fell on my face. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And the four living creatures say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. So that's just a little bit. I mean, you know, we could spend the rest of the day reading how amazing, how powerful, how holy, how majestic. I mean, the earth, I can't even picture a mountain trembling. I guess if somebody's experienced an earthquake, maybe you get a sense of, but that's just got to be an extremely frightening experience. God's that holy. God's that big. We can't make him too big. You can go as big as your mind can go, but you have to go further than that for it to be God. So we can, and we are teeny tiny little insignificant nothings in a sense, in size and grandeur and majesty. First time I got a glimpse of God being bigger was when we were hiking in the White Mountains. And I remember climbing boulders that were like toddlers climbing the steps. You know, I mean, I was needing to use my hands and my knees and maybe even a hand from somebody else to get up some of these boulders. And I thought, you know, this is so much bigger than what I see in my day-to-day life. And God made that. And that's a tinker toy block for him. You know, I mean, it's, we're not even, and I made the statement to Lex, and I said, if I'm impressed by these boulders, what must the Grand Canyon be like? You know, and again, if anyone has seen the Grand Canyon, it just opens. God is so big. If you've been out off shore where you have no sight of land, and you go 360, there's nothing but water. How can he be that big? You know, Niagara Falls, and again, I'm sure there are more waterfalls further out west, Canada, and certainly other places, but I saw Niagara Falls, and I can't figure out why it doesn't run out of water. I just haven't, you know, I mean, where does, again, the power, the grandeur, and God's bigger than that. You know, I mean, our day-to-day life, our chairs fit us, our cars fit us, our homes fit us. We don't sense the vastness on a daily basis. Our lives are pretty contained, but God's that big, and he loves you. He loves that teeny tiny little insignificant, you know, person, and he loves every single one of us. And we have to grab a hold of that. It'll only be with the Lord's help, but you have to grab a hold of that. And again, I'm going to just read you some scriptures of his love. And then what I want is that board covered in more. But those are, as I think some of you got the quote homework, was if there's a verse that means something to you, I want it up there. Because if you take nothing else away from the whole weekend, God loves you. So God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Neither height nor depth shall separate us from the love of God. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. To him who loves us and released us from our sins. And then Paul's prayer in Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And as we see him, and as we grasp, if we begin to accept and believe that he loves us, we will fall in love with him. And John, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Why is that important? Because if we do not feel loved, we can't love in return. Our work for God becomes duty. But if you love him, then, and he loves us, and we realize he loves us, then we can trust him. We can obey him easily. We can follow him. We can worship him. We can serve him. And we can lean.
And we can what?
Lean. And that's it. You want the references as well this time around? Of his love for us. All right, the ones I pulled, and then hopefully there'll be different ones, although I've seen some that I said. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners,